send the greetings to you this morning in Jesus' precious name. Thankful to be gathered with you today. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning and we just want to thank you again for your goodness and for your mercy. Lord, we just ask you to help us, Father, as we open your word. Father, give us wisdom today, Lord, and we just thank you again for what you've done for us. Fill us with your spirit, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, this morning I want to talk just a little bit about the Sabbath day. What that means to the Christian. First of all, there's a lot of unlearning to do. The way we've been taught, I was with some of the Methodists few years back, that would have been, it's probably been 15 years, but there was an old man there, just to give you a little perspective. There was an old man that was in that congregation, and whenever we talked about Sunday, or keeping a Sabbath day, as they would have often referred to it, he said that right here in Monette, whenever he was a boy, that one Sunday afternoon, him and some of his friends were playing baseball. Right here in Monette. And this man was probably 70 whenever he told us this about 15 years ago. So this has been about 80 years maybe, something like that now. That him and his friends were playing baseball and the police caught him playing baseball on Sunday. And they were fined $5 a family because their boys were breaking the Sabbath day. So that gives you just a little bit of perspective of what was in and what is in people's minds. I think it was John or Charles Wesley, one of them had played on the Sabbath day, and that was what convicted him and brought him to such terror that he had broken the Sabbath day, and that he felt like that was going to send him to hell because he had played a game or told a joke. It was something very seeming that we would think very little of. I remember that it wasn't but just, I don't know how long it's been, maybe 20 years ago or 25 years that the new Walmart was built. Before that time, right here again in Monette, there was only allowed one or maybe two gas stations to be open. They rotated between gas stations and drug stores so that they could all be closed on Sunday. They called it the Blue Law. And it wasn't until Walmart wanted to be open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, that they repealed that blue law here in Monette. That's the perspective we have, that we've been brought up with. Some of the younger people, I know that growing up in our home, we would have never done anything outside of just exactly what was required on Sunday. What we've saw as we've studied history and studied the scriptures is that there's no place in the Bible where God changed Sunday into the Sabbath day. And for all of these laws that I've talked about to really have any effect on Christians, we would have to be able to look to the Bible and find some support for God changing Sabbath, that it wouldn't be a Sabbath on Saturday anymore, but it would become a Sabbath on Sunday, or the first day of the week. The Bible does make a reference to the first day of the week in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. It says, "Let your offerings be gathered together on the first day of the week when I come unto you. Let your offerings be gathered." And then they also talk about John on the Lord's day. He was meditating on the Lord's day. And that's where he got the book of Revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 1, verse 10. But there's no place that the Lord said, "I'm going to change Saturday into Sunday," or a Sabbath into the Lord's day. That's just one of the things that we have to get our mind around before we can even begin to understand, because there's absolutely no basis towards that at all. The Catholics in the year 300 is the first reference I've found to it, claim that they changed the Sabbath day from Saturday into being Sunday. But as we look a little further back in history, that from the very beginning, that Christians, the earliest Christians that we can find, just came together on the Lord's day. One other point I want to make before we just open the scriptures here and look is, even at that, whenever the Bible talks about the seventh day or the Sabbath day, it never commands the worship to be done on that day. It's not a day, the Bible calls it a day of rest. It had become a Sabbath day where everyone gathered in the synagogues and they talked about the Word of God. We see that all through the book of Acts, where they met together and Paul went and preached on the Sabbath. And oftentimes he refers to the Sabbath. He said, "I stayed there three Sabbath days." It was just a point of reference that he spent 3 weeks there. But we never find that was a commandment that he gave us. Let's turn in our Bibles. First of all, to Colossians. Chapter 2. again in verse 14. It says, blotting out the handwritings of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Verse 16, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or in the new moons or of the Sabbath days. What I want to make very clear here, verse 17, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. All these things were shadows of things to come. Hebrews talks chapter 4, talks about entering into his rest. Entering in, ceasing from our own labors and our own inventions of righteousness. I use that word inventions because righteousness is in God's righteousness. We are righteous, doing righteous things. But we've entered into his rest or his obedience. We've ceased from trying to find our own way, and we found his. These were a shadow, these things that were given, of things to come. So if a man, the Bible makes it very clear right here, one man wants to keep one day, and one man wants to keep another. Let no man judge you in those things. If someone wants to keep a Sabbath day, I'm not going to condemn them for trying to keep a Sabbath day. If someone wants to keep a Friday, I'm not going to condemn them. If someone wants to keep a Sunday and they have their day of rest on Sunday, that's just fine. I'm not going to condemn them for that. But if they go to teaching that we have to keep one of those days, and it starts to cause division and strife and wrath and envy, it's out of order. There's a religion that basically started 150 some odd, 100, maybe 200 years ago, by a woman, Seventh-day Adventists, and they can come and they can throw a few verses at us, and sometimes cause us to wonder, well, maybe we ought to be keeping a Sabbath day. Maybe we ought to be keeping Sunday. Or Saturday, as they call it, as a strict day that we don't do anything on. And they can give us a few arguments and a few verses and kind of make us wonder, well, maybe we should be keeping the Sabbath day. But just about like any other religion that bases its ideas on one particular commandment, you don't have to go very far to find that Well, what do they do about adultery? They're probably, just from my own experience, the most divorced and remarried group, one of them, that I've been around as a whole. It seems like many of the people that really promoted Sabbath keeping that I've grown up around or been around were almost all of them divorced and remarried, not just once, but several times. They put their focus on keeping the Sabbath day, and as long as they keep this Sabbath day and they meet on Saturday and have their church on Saturday, they're peculiar from the rest of everyone else, so they can feel justified and a little holier than anyone else because they keep this day. Jesus said, "Work, for the night is coming when no man can work." There's nothing wrong with taking some rest once in a while. He said, come apart. Come out from among them. Come apart. And he tried often, the multitudes thronging up against him, and he tried often to come out and come apart, and they always seemed to find him every time he tried to seek a little bit of rest. He didn't get a lot of rest once he entered into his Father's kingdom. I want to start in Exodus. And I want you just to kind of, I'm just going to go through a few of these verses. Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, verse 1. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Who is he speaking to? I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. He was speaking to the children of Israel. And then he proceeded to give them what we know as the Ten Commandments. But he was speaking and making a covenant with the children of Israel. And if you'll notice, let's just go on. We can look and find some more. Chapter 31. Verse 12, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, verily my Sabbath ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. Ye shall keep the Sabbath therefore, for it is holy unto you. Every one that defileth it shall surely be put to death, for whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath through their generations for a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and the seventh day he rested, and he was refreshed. Okay, Exodus chapter 35, verse 1. And Moses gathered all the congregation of the children of Israel together and said unto them, These are the words which the Lord hath commanded that ye should do them. 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day there shall be to you an holy day, a Sabbath of rest to the Lord. Whosoever doeth any work therein shall be put to death. Almost every reference that you can find to the Sabbath day in the Old Testament, there's a preface to it, and it is directed and talks about the covenant that is given to the children of Israel or to those who were brought out of Egypt. Some say that it wasn't to the Jews, because God created the heaven and earth in 6 days, and then the seventh day he rested. And he did. And there's nothing wrong with taking a day of rest, resting a little while. But the covenant that God made on the Sabbath day was to the Jews. We have an old covenant and we have a new covenant. We are never commanded in the new covenant. All these other commandments of the others are all specifically listed in the New Testament as sins if we break them. But the Sabbath day is not ever mentioned as a day to be kept through all those list of things. For instance, in Revelations, where it says all liars and fornicators and adulterers, those lists like that, they never mention Sabbath breakers. It was a covenant. The old covenant that Jesus fulfilled. Now we're under a new covenant. That clears so many things up, that the New Testament is a new covenant that he's given to man, sealed in his blood. We're not children of Israel. God doesn't give us special secret names that we call God. Jesus referred to him as the Father. And that's good enough. These people that get caught up in all of these special secret names that they call God, that are supposed to be unmentionable names, but they seem to mention them pretty regularly. They throw them around pretty proudly, which is against the Father. thinking that they're a little higher because they can use these sacred names. I don't know how many people have come up to me and said, "Do you know the name of God?" And if I don't tell them the right way and the right pronunciation, "Well, you don't even know his name. How do you know who he is?" They usually go off and have another drink and another smoke or whatever they go do. Fighting against the Word of God, but they know his name. Not all of them are that way, but many of them I've found. Let's go into the New Testament. Now I'm just going to read several verses here. Just begin in Mark. Chapter 2, verse 23. "And it came to pass that he went through the cornfields on the Sabbath day, and his disciples began, as they went, to pluck the ears of corn. What were they doing? Someone just driving by or walking by, I guess, in that time, saw men out in the field. Saw someone out in their garden today on your way home. If you drive on your way home or drive on the way home this afternoon and you drive by and you see someone out in their garden collecting corn or picking green beans, what do you think? They're out there working in their garden, aren't they? Here's Jesus and his disciples going through a field of grain, picking grain on a Sabbath day. What do you think the Pharisees would have thought about that? "Began as they went to pluck the ears of corn, and the Pharisees said unto him, Behold, why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful? And he said unto them, Have ye never read what David did when he had need and was hungered, he and they that were with him, how he went to the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest, and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful to eat, but for the priests, and gave also to them which were with him. And he said unto them, The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Therefore the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath." Often this verse is quoted. The Sabbath was made for man, not for the Sabbath. But if you look at the context here, it's often given that this day was given as a commandment. But yet, Jesus said, this day was for man, not man to be a slave to the Sabbath. This was a day that God provided for man, a day of rest. Not that he would be a servant to the day of rest. This was just after Jesus was going through, and his disciples, says, was going through the Sabbath, or was going through the wheat field, or the corn field, and collecting grain. He said, who's the Lord here? This day that you're picking out, or man? Chapter 3, verse 1, and he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand, and they watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he saith unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. And he said unto them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days, or to do evil, to save life or to kill? They held their peace. And when he had looked round upon them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And the Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. All right, let's go to John chapter 5. No, Mark 6, verse 2, while we're still here. Again, verse 1, and he went out from thence and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is that which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? I want to bring out here that he began to teach in the synagogue. What was his job? What was he doing in the 3 years that he was a minister? He was teaching. And here, instead of taking a day of rest, he stood up and taught. I don't know about you, but Sunday's probably one of the hardest days that I have. Teaching. I just couldn't hardly quite call it a day of rest. Jesus said, work, for the night is coming. Our day of rest is in heaven. Our day of rest is in eternity. We're so concerned that we just are in perfect health, and that we just have all the rest we need. And everything is just wonderful so that we can live a good long life on this earth. But our rest is in heaven. Often I guess it's just a saying that I've had. I don't know if somebody attributed it, or Lloyd, I guess, used to say it's better to, you're gonna wear out or burn out than rust out. It's better to wear out for the Lord than to rust out for the Lord. And I've just taken that. It's not very much fun wearing out. But I'd rather be found worn out for the Lord when He returns than rusted out. Let's go on here. Luke chapter 6. Here's the same account. He went through the cornfields, and his disciples plucked the ears of corn and eat, rubbing them in their hands. Here not only were they out plucking, harvesting, they were preparing the grain. And certain of the Pharisees said unto them, "Why do ye that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath days?" All right, Luke chapter 13. Verse 14. Beginning in 11. "Behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together, and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him, and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight, and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because of Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, There are 6 days in which men ought to work, in them therefore come and be healed, but not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him and said, Thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath day loose his ox or his ass from the stall, and lead them away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from the bond on the Sabbath day?" Right, chapter 14. "And it came to pass, as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day, that they watched him. And behold, there was a certain man before him which had the dropsy. And Jesus answering spake unto the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? And they held their peace, and he took him and healed him and let him go. And answered them, saying, Which of you, having an ass or an ox fallen into the pit, and will not straightway pull him out of on the Sabbath day? And they could not answer him again these things. John chapter 5, verse 7. There's an impotent man. Verse 7, the impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled. Put me into the pool, but while I'm coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for you to carry your bed. He answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. Then answered they him, What man is this? What man is that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and saith unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. Therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done those things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hereunto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was the Father, making himself equal with God. All right, John chapter 9, verse 16. Verse 14. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind, and it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, He put clay on my hand and washed, and I washed and do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, This man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. Just want you to, as we read all those verses, what commentation do you get, or what thought do you get about the Sabbath day and how Jesus responded to it just by reading how he actually dealt with and responded on the Sabbath day? Do you get out of that, oh, we need to be keeping the Sabbath day more holy? I don't. I see Jesus He could have done it this on Friday. He could have healed these people the next day. This woman that had an infirmity had it for 18 years. Was it an emergency that he had to do it on the Sabbath? Absolutely not. He did it on purpose, right in their face, on the Sabbath. He broke it right in front of them. Gather what you will out of it. We don't need to be defiant about it. Jesus went about doing good on the Sabbath day. He went about doing good every day. That was his work. And he didn't take a day of rest from his doing good. That was his work. We've got a day of rest coming. We got a day that we can lay our burdens down. We got a day that we can lay aside what God has set before us. I'm not much on retired preachers. When God's ready to retire somebody, he'll take them home. We don't have a place where we can just quit doing what he's set us to do and relax and take it easy. Go off to Florida for the winter. Take a vacation from our preaching. The day of rest is coming. There'll be rest by and by. Many other things that we could discuss. Acts chapter 15, whenever they met together in the council, whether they should keep all the laws. They came up with four: not to eat blood, not to eat things strangled, keep from fornication. Can't remember the other one right now. But it wasn't keep the Sabbath day. Watch how Jesus lived. Look how he lived. That's how people learn. We see his examples. Let no man judge you on keeping a holy day, the feast days, all these different things. live for the Lord. May the Lord add his blessings to his words.